When you say tithing's under the law, you're right, but you're wrong. Right in the sense that it was placed under the law when the law was instituted so that those under the law could get the benefit out of it. But it didn't originate with the law. It was in vogue, in operation, long before the law was ever given.
Today, Kenneth Copeland and Frederick Price study God's principle of tithing and how it's designed to bless and protect you. Join them for an in-depth discussion and learn what the tithe is and is not, next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll get right into today's Bible lesson. Father, we thank you and we worship you. We bless you. Thank you for sending Brother Price to us. We receive him. Jesus said, if you receive him whom he sends, then you receive the one that sent him. And we receive you in his life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brother Fred, I am excited about you being here.
Praise God. I am too.
I know that God directed it. And it's already blessed me immensely. We're talking about, first of all, we found out it is God's will for us to prosper. It is He that giveth the power to get wealth. And it includes all things. And we know that His Word covers all things. Because Scripture says, from these exceeding great and precious promises that cover all things pertaining to life and godliness. Not just the godly part of life, the way people think about it, but actually, Fred, everything is godly. His grace covers everything. He makes all grace abound in all things. Now, we talked about it yesterday. What's the next step? How do I get into this? And we started talking about, first of all, tithing, and then secondly, investing in God's work, in what He's doing. So, Fred, the first thing that comes to most people's mind, and it did mine in early years, and I've heard it ever since I've been in the ministry. Well, now, Brother Price, I thought tithing was just under the law. That's Old Testament doctrine. You mean New Testament believers and Christians ought to be tithing? And then I hear, is that something we have to do? No, you don't have to.
You don't have to pray.
Uh-uh.
You don't have to eat.
No, you die if you don't do any one of the three.
There you go.
but it's something that we are privileged
to do. Privileged.
This is an honor that God has opened the door for us. What is it, Pastor?
Well, the first thing, my boy, is
yes.
The first thing, in order to really get into tithing, you've got to be convinced that tithing is the will of God for us today as Christians. And so I think it's important to go back to the Old Covenant from the standpoint of dealing with the terms that we find. And, of course, in Malachi, we find it in chapter 3, where God talks about in the 8th verse, will a man rob God? And then he says, you've robbed me. But you say, in what way? And he says, in tithes and offerings. Now, people say, okay, that's Old Covenant, Old Testament. So we're under grace. We're Christians. We're under the New Covenant. So we're not under the Old Covenant. That's why they have a new one. So therefore, do we have to tithe? Well, what people have to understand is that everything about God dealing with man is what's called progressive revelation. It doesn't give us everything in one lump sum. It's over time. It's interesting to note that in the Old Covenant, there are some truths that are revealed that have what I refer to as universal application, meaning they work Old or New Testament. They work all the time. Mm-hmm. Then there's some things that are specific to the Old Covenant that are only for the Old Covenant. For instance, animal sacrifices. Mm-hmm. We don't have to do that anymore. That was temporary. But then there are some things that are revealed under the Old Covenant that are, as I say, universal in their application. For instance, the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. Well, Jesus, when he came, he said, I am the good shepherd. Mm-hmm. So that concept of him being the shepherd, that's all the time.
That never changes.
Never changes. Now, the tithe did not, as some people say, it did not originate with the law. That's where they make the big mistake. They mm-hmm. think, well, it's Old Testament, it's under the law. Well, what does under the law mean? It has a twofold application. It's not necessarily saying it originated with the law, because it didn't. We have an account of it. Abraham, mm-hmm. the patriarch, paid tithes to the high priest Melchizedek 430 years before the law was ever given.
Well, actually, it goes back to Cain.
Well, it actually goes back to the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
It's always been God's way, because think about it. When Abraham and those that were with him defeated the other guys, and Melchizedek came, and they had communion together, and then Abraham paid or gave Melchizedek a 10%. How did he come up with 10? How come he didn't even give him 9 or 3? Is it just coincidental that it was 10, a tenth, which means tithe? Where did he get that idea? I believe he got it from his father, Terah. Mm-hmm. I believe that Terah got it from his father, all the way back to Adam, even though it's not specifically mentioned, because God's the same. He doesn't change. And any law he sets in motion, that law is there forever. It doesn't change. And so just because you don't know about it, just like you might not know there's a law of gravity, get up on the top of the Empire State Building and jump off, you're going to make a smash hit on Broadway.
Yeah,
and
old or new.
Testament. Old or new. You're going to find out that law
that
is working.
Is working.
24/7, 365.
Now you've said something here, and this, in my way of thinking, is such vital information. You called it the law of tithing. This is a law that works when it's put to work.
That's exactly right.
It's not just random this or that. Mm-hmm. That man might work good and might not do it. Mm-hmm. No. It's got a set of very specific spiritual laws that govern it, and this is what got so hold of me when I put it into operation. And then, like I said yesterday, it took on a life of its own, man. And I got so excited about it, I wanted to do more of it. I wanted to see this thing work more.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
It did. It was so glaring to me, the changes in my life that were taking place, and I could put my hand on it right there on
you
that
see
spot.
It. Exactly. So tithing was in vogue from day one. It was mentioned in reference to Abraham and Melchizedek, and that was, as I said, 430 years before the law. Then Abraham's children paid tithes. Where did they get the idea? From their father, Abraham. Isaac, Jacob, same thing. So when you say tithing's under the law, you're right, but you're wrong. Right in the sense that it was placed under the law when the law was instituted, so that those under the law could get the benefit out of it. But it didn't originate with the law. It was in vogue, in operation, long before the law was ever given.
So the law was actually teaching and instruction of how to do what was already there.
There it is.
Yeah.
Now, let's go to Malachi again. Let's look at this because the Lord showed me some things about this that are really interesting, I think. It starts out in verse 8, will a man rob God? Rob. Will a man rob God? What is robbery? What's the definition of robbery? Well, robbery is a person is classified as a robber who takes something from someone that doesn't belong to them.
It's a thief.
Would you agree with that?
Yes.
That's robbery. But now watch this. Will a man rob God? So whatever comes after this statement, will a man rob God, it must have belonged to God.
Oh, yeah.
In the first place, in order for you to be considered a robber. So he says, will a man rob God? And then God says, you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? And then God clarifies it, in tithes and offerings. That means then that the tithe and the offering belonged to God before we came along.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to be classified as a robber, that means we're taking something from God that belongs to him that does not belong to us. So he classifies us as a robber. Then, now, I want to ask a question, because the Lord showed me this to really make it clear. I'm telling you, if you can't get it from this, you really got problems. So, if you take something from God that doesn't belong to you, then God calls you a robber. Now, let's find out, because he says the way you rob me is in tithes and offerings. So if I don't pay tithes, you don't give tithes, you pay tithes, you give offerings. The tithe belongs to God, so you can't give it. You got to pay it. It doesn't belong to you. Offering, that's yours. You can do what you want with it. But now, who is a tither? Because some people, they think they're tithers, but they're not tithers. Who is a tither? What constitutes a tither? All right? Let me ask you this question. You're a married man. I'm a married man. You've been married to Gloria for what? How many years?
46 years.
Okay. Question. In the 46 years that you have been married to her, out of those 46 years, how many of those years has she been a female?
Pretty well all of it.
You can vouch for that.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Amen.
Okay, now think about it. And if I ask her, she's been married to you for that same length of time. If I ask her in all those years, how many of those years have you been a male? I'm sure she would say the same thing.
Sure.
So that means you nor her ever took any time off, a vacation from being male or female. You never took a weekend off. You were a male and a female, 24/7, 365. Well, then, if you got to be a male 24/7, 365 to qualify as a male, then you have to tithe 24/7, 365 to qualify as a tither.
Sure.
Most people that claim to be tithers are not tithers. And this is not a judgment call, just an observation so they can clean up their act. What they do is they give 10% when it's convenient for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of them, they take God's money to buy a new tire. Tire blew out, they go take that money and buy a tire. The shingles come off the house, they take that money. You're a robber. You're not a tither.
Any way you look at it.
You just give 10% when it's convenient. Now, I don't know about anybody else, and it's not a bragging. It's simply an observation. Betty and I started tithing in 1967. Since 1967, we have never, ever, under any circumstances, ever missed tithing. We qualify as tithers.
Yes.
Some people qualify as giving 10% when it's convenient for them. So they can't really call yourself a tither. You got to be one 24/7, 365. The only way you can stop tithing, you don't have any income. You don't have any money. You can't tithe. You don't have any substance that has come to you so that you can tithe out of it. But a tither, you got to tithe all the time. We have never, ever, in all those years, we've been married 55 years, we have never missed tithing since 1967.
Praise God.
Never. Not one single time.
That's true with Gloria and me.
Yeah, same thing.
There's been times that just over a little something, somebody just hand me something. I can't understand it, Fred, until I get that tithe out of my hand.
Absolutely.
It doesn't have to be a great big thing, little bitty thing. I mean, but of course, I'm caught up in it, too. I enjoy it now.
Absolutely.
I have a tendency to look at it from the other side now because we tithe everything. We tithe off top of this ministry. We tithe our personal income, everything we do or handle, we tithe it.
Yeah.
And I get to thinking, son, look at what the tithe is going to be on. Are we going to have a good time with this or what?
That's it.
I'm going to get to buy my pastor a new suit. I'm going to, whoo, you know, because God has entrusted me with something, but it's become dear to my heart.
It becomes a way of life.
Yes, it does.
You think it, you sleep it, you live it.
All the time.
All the time. Every time I see money, whenever I see money that comes into my hand, the first thing I think of is not, what can I do with this? Oh, I can buy me a new car. Oh, I get me a new suit.
You just don't think it.
I don't. The first thing I think of, because see, we, and this is something that people need to understand, everything starts by the first step. I don't care how long the journey is,
it
begins with the first step. You got to take a step. And so 10%, technically, a tenth is the tithe. Anything over that would be an offering. But I say tithe because I use that principle in reference to my giving. So I think of everything as tithe for me. I don't put that off on anybody else. We started out in 1967 tithing. It took all of the faith that Betty and I could put together at one time to give up that 10% and think we could live on 90% left over. We weren't living on 100%. Now, how are we going to live on...
That's where you get hung up.
Yeah. Yeah. How are we going to live on 90? We're not making it on 100. We're not making it on 100. If I give up 10%, then I only got 90% left. How am I going to survive?
Now, I know I'm jumping the gun on you here, but the answer to that is right there. You're cursed with a curse. That's a very
talk
next
to
verse.
Me. Talk to me about it. We're going to get to that.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. If you don't, and it's only because it's a law. It's not like God waited, you didn't tithe, bang.
Boom, no.
No. It's a law, and when you violate law, there are consequences, and you won't like them. So the best thing to do is obey the law. Like people always talking about this, why are they building more prisons, putting all these black folk in prison, all these young people in prison? Fools, stop breaking the law. They don't just come out and grab folk and put them in prison. You had to do something to put yourself in the way of the prison. I'm not in prison. In fact, I went to jail one time when I was young, 18 years old, for stealing a car. And I went to jail for 30 days. I didn't like it. And guess what? I haven't been back.
I'm not going back.
Only to minister to somebody.
Ain't got nothing over.
No way. Forget it.
Except a place to preach.
That,
now,
that's
I go
exactly
there every
right.
time I get a chance.
They haven't just been coming around grabbing me and putting me in jail. So the thing about it is there are consequences to everything. For every violation of any law, natural or spiritual, you're going to pay a price for it.
Yeah, you do.
And you're not going to like the price.
Yeah,
so we started, we said, but I was so tired. Like you, I was so tired of the rat race, the treadmill. The debt was beating my head, kicking my backside. It was pitiful. I hated to wake up in the morning. Instead of waking up in the morning saying, good morning, Lord, I would say, good Lord, it's morning.
Yeah.
I got to face another day.
Yeah.
What am I going to do? I got tired of it. I said, I want out. And when I saw this, and I didn't even know the principles of faith yet, but I knew this. God said it. You're cursed with a curse.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no wonder I can't keep no money. I get a little bit of money. It looked like it just disappeared. There's holes in the bags. It's gone. And so I said, we're going to make a commitment to do this. Because what we're doing now is not making it. This is not working.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario, this won't work. That's the worst that can happen is the tithing won't work. What we're doing now is definitely not working. So let's go with this because, again, worst case scenario, it won't work. It took all of our faith, all of it, to give that 10%. But we started doing it. I mean, almost with fear and trepidation. I'd write that little check out. Here we are, 55 years later. We give away 40% personally of all of our income. 40% of it. And we live better on the 60% that's left over than we were living on the 100% when we were robbing God.
And it's getting better all the time.
All the time.
It's difficult to put it into words for people that have never experienced
it.
But the closest thing I can say to it is, like one guy said to a very close friend of mine, man, you and I both know in the ministry, and he said, I'll tell you now, I just think that all that stuff you talk about, all that blessing and all that praying and all that, I think that's just coincidence. I don't believe the prayer had anything to do with it. He said, well, maybe not. But I can tell you this. Before I started praying and before I started tithing,
there it is.
The coincidences were all working against me. After I started praying and I started tithing, the coincidence started working for me.
Isn't that something?
Isn't that wonderful?
Praise the Lord.
But that's what we're doing our best to convey to people that don't know this. Even people like you're talking about that have good intentions. I know I'm supposed to do this. No, that won't get it. You won't experience it, even though you do it, if you don't have your heart
in it.
Mm-hmm. Because in your heart is where the faith and the power is that causes it to work.
Amen. That's exactly right.
Because the law of faith is that law that's working in all these things.
Exactly. It's progressive. Just like we give that, not because we're under bondage to do it, just because it's so good. Plus, I found out that that's the key to get into the position of establishing God's covenant, because he does it through us. He didn't send angels down here to do it. He does it through us. I can't be a worker together with him, as we found out yesterday, unless I have some resources. And the resources are available. Just like all this confusion that's going on in our economy now, it's not because they ran out of money.
No, it isn't.
It's not because they ran out of money. That's the one thing that 6 o'clock evening news, you've never heard them say, oh, we don't know what we're going to do today. We're running out of money. Fossil fuels, yeah, this, that, the global war, all those things they're talking about. I have never heard a newscast, oh, I don't know what we're going to do. We ain't got no more money. It's all gone. We ran out of it. It's not. It's all in the wrong hands. That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem. So it's
And
it's
the
there.
Church is the one that put it in their hands by not doing
this.
What it says.
Preach on, bro.
Yep. That's where the... You really can't lay this at the feet of political parties. You can't lay it at the feet of anybody but God's people, for it is he that has given us the power to get wealth. And we have not been doing what his word says, so what do you get? Cursed.
There it is.
Well, the same book, in the same book of Deuteronomy that we read earlier, where he says, God giveth thee the power to get wealth. In that same book, he went ahead to say, I place before you life and death, blessing
and
cursing. Now, right here where you are in the book of Malachi, he said, you bring the tithes into the storehouse and prove me here, what saith the Lord, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out blessing. So there it is again. Here was the curse, and here is the blessing.
There it is.
Now, whose choice is it, Fred?
Our choice. And you know what, Ken? That's the thing I truly like about God, because he places the responsibility in my hands. I can't alibi anymore.
No, you can't.
You know, I can't. Well, I don't have it because the white folks wouldn't let me have it. Or I don't have it because them folks in the ghetto messed up. Or this, that. Always some excuse. I'm the problem. And thank God I found out I'm not going to be a problem anymore.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Boy, I'm telling you, you just said it. I found it out, and I'm not going to be the problem anymore.
Amen.
There was something about that 42 years ago. Mm. That lifted 1,000,000 pounds, seemed like to me, off my shoulders. Wow. I'm not going to be the problem here anymore. And here was my little New Testament I carried around in my pocket, and I thought, uh-oh. And I pulled that New Testament out, and I thought, I've been carrying this around with me for 4 years, and all the time I had the answer in my pocket, and I'm crying out to God, and all the time his voice was right there in my shirt pocket.
All about choice.
And so I thought, I pulled that Bible out, and I said, hey, I'm not going to be the problem anymore. I'm going to be part of the answer.
Yes.
And we're out of time again. My goodness. Brother Fred and I'll be back in just a moment.
In these economic times, are we as Christians supposed to prosper? The answer is yes. The Word says that you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth. God knows what lies ahead, and He has given everything we need to see us through to victory. He wants us to prosper in every area of our lives, and that includes our finances. Frederick Price has written a powerful book, Prosperity, Good News for God's People. This book gives sound biblical advice concerning God's plan for us to prosper.
There are no quick fixes as such, other than fixing your mind.
Do you know the difference between the world's prosperity system and God's prosperity system?
Hey, it isn't over. You get a hold of God's word and you press in there, praise God.
Prosperity, good news for God's people.
To order your copy of Prosperity, Good News for God's People by Frederick Price, log on to our website at kcm.org and order online. This dynamic new book reveals God's design and purpose for increase and is now available for just $15. To to request your copy by phone, call 800-575-4455. Or you may write to us at Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Order your copy today.
Good news for God's people. Prosperity, proven results. Praise God. All these things we've been talking about, tithing and offerings and all of the biblical spiritual laws that are behind it, are detailed in this book. This is just a dynamite handbook in the transforming of your view of wealth, and it will dramatically transform the level of your wealth. Why? Because it is a guidebook to get into this book, and just what we're talking about here, and in just sharper ways to act on God's Word. There ain't no use you having to take 40 years to learn this like we did.
Oh, amen.
And we had people that helped us, and we're here to help you. So get in there and get your hands on it. Get one for your pastor and your son and your daughter and everybody. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, we have at KCM.org an awesome website, and you need to be taking advantage of this. Now then, if you're looking for a topic, now this is something new on the website, and this is good. You can now search on our website by specific word, phrase, speaker, author. You can go back in there and watch these broadcasts. You can go into the meetings and so forth, whether it's salvation, prayer, health, healing, finance, relationship, prophecies, biblical answers for every day of your life, praise the Lord. And that has to do with everyday life, every day of your life. So it's very simple. KCM.org. Go there. Oh, and before we go today, I got to say happy birthday to my little Courtney. She's my granddaughter. Mm. And I got 9 grandchildren, and all of them are first place. Amen. You know the feeling. You heard that. Praise the Lord. Happy birthday, Courtney. God love you, and we love you, and Mimi loves you, and amen. You're our girl. Amen. Praise God. Friend, this is exceptionally good broadcast today. I'm really feeding on this thing today. Can't wait till we get in tomorrow. Until then, this is Kenneth Copeland and Fred Price reminding you again that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Visit our website today at kcm.org. There you can purchase this week's broadcasts on DVD or CD, or a copy of today's product through our online store. Kenneth Copeland Ministries has a resource of teaching materials and study tools designed to help you find the biblical answers to your questions. Believe the love God has for you, walk in the blessing, and let the glory of the Lord shine in your life. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
We are stewards of those tithes. We are trustees of that tithe. We have to be judicious in where we put God's money. It's not our money. We're on the honor system. That tithe belongs to God.